Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible!
As Kevin Garnett said. After they won the NBA championship.
And Chris Ello.
Chevrolet of Carlsbad.
Yes, I think that's how the lockout goes on that. So at least something.
Find like new that. Roads.
Find new roads.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's finally a Friday. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, a short get-together on this Friday afternoon ahead of Padres baseball. 2:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. in the booth, Truist Park, Atlanta, Georgia, or somewhere near Atlanta, Georgia.
I think it's SunTrust now, too.
Is it?
No, it's Truist Park.
Truist Park. Oh, I got that right.
SunTruist was the original.
I got that right. Thank you, Scraby, for interrupting. And not only interrupting, but being the bearer of misinformation.
I've also been
all
very,
at the same time.
I've also been very I've been annoying Chris so far today. So
yes, he's been doing his best to annoy me today. It is Friday the 13th, so I'm assuming Scraby's biorhythms are just off because that just figures to be with his character. So I'm putting up with him best I can. But, Tony, how are you as the Padres get ready to embark on this difficult 9-game road trip?
I'm well. You know, I get to show up to a beautiful ballpark. Got some news kind of percolating today. It sounds like Denelson Lamet was optioned to go down and work on some things, and that is the corresponding move for Robinson Cano. So, as you said, this is like a good – measuring stick road trip for the Padres, right? You get a Braves team. Now, they're not playing their best at this point. There will be no Ronald Acuna Jr. He has a growing issue. So Padres got a chance to really kind of measure themselves against some of the better teams in the National League, for sure.
Yeah, no question. The Atlanta Braves this weekend and the Philadelphia Phillies, and then travel cross country to take on the San Francisco Giants. And we mentioned this yesterday, but so far for the Padres, it has been nothing but success. Remember the opening homestand of the year against Arizona and San Francisco? They went 4-3, or the opening road trip, I should say. Then the opening homestand against Atlanta, Cincinnati, and the Dodgers. Again, a winning record, 6-4. Then a road trip to Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. Winning road trip, 6-2. And then the last homestand, Miami and Chicago. Another winning homestand, 4-3. So they have come out on the plus side every single time, and it all adds up to a 20-12 record and a chance to, I think, not only, you know, keep it going, Tony, but you mentioned a good measuring stick. I think teams are always looking for a little confidence boost along the way. Yeah. Not that the Padres doubt themselves, but you're going on this road trip, and if you come out of this with another winning record, you're going to feel like, hey, you know, we definitely are onto something here.
Yeah, they haven't had a losing road trip or homestand at this point.
Right.
And I guarantee you the dudes in the dugout, the guys that actually are playing, they don't look across the diamond and say, oh, this Braves team is only 15-17. They're not that good. They know the players that are actually playing in the game, and they know how talented they are. So I know the Padres certainly don't look at it that way. And they got their hands full tonight. Max Fried is, as much as we talked about Manny Machado being kind of at the top of the list for MVP, Max Fried would have to be in that same conversation on the Cy Young side if you're having it in May. And so they're going to have their hands full tonight, and you know, we'll see where the chips fall. But again, they've answered the call. I mean, when you, as soon as you think, you know, the offense is dead and they haven't been scoring, and boom, all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, they've put up some runs the last couple of nights. So you just hope that it can continue to keep getting better offensively, and you just hope the pitching can just stay where they are at this point.
Yeah, Yu Darvish gets a start for the Padres tonight, and that's the thing you got to remind yourself. No matter who you're facing, no matter where the game is, no matter that Max Fried is going for Atlanta, who, as you said, is one of the best pitchers in the National League, the Padres always have a credible starting pitcher on their side.
No
you
doubt.
Know, it'll be Darvish, it'll be Minaya, it'll be Musgrove in this series. I mean, every single night the Padres go out to the hill with a chance to win the ball game, and hopefully Luke Voit brought his hitting stick with him to Atlanta, keeps it going. Maybe Will Myers gets started here tonight. He's back in the lineup, and you know, man, he keeps it rolling. So as you said, Robinson Cano officially signed by the Padres, not in the starting lineup tonight. Of course, a left-handed pitcher on the mound for Atlanta. But I imagine we'll see Cano before too long. And Denelson Lamet, I don't know. This is kind of a surprise just because of the name Denelson Lamet. But it's not a surprise when you consider how he's struggled.
Yeah.
8 1/3 innings so far this year. He's allowed 10 hits, 7 walks. So he's allowing more than 2 base runners per inning. He's got an ERA of 9.72. And I've asked it over and over again, but what has happened to Denelson Lamet? I think part of it is certainly the adjustment to going to the bullpen, but it's still the same idea, isn't it, Tony? You're still trying to get big league hitters out, and for whatever reason, Denelson Lamet doesn't seem to have the confidence to do that right now.
It is and it isn't. I mean, you know, it's one thing to, you know, it's getting warmed up. I mean, there's so many little things that go along with it that may not seem like a big deal or may seem like it should be easy to make the transition that
yeah.
you talk to pitchers, both relievers and starters, they'll tell you that it's not an easy transition. So the tough part is you can only have so many guys working on stuff at the big league level where these games count. And you kind of saw it with Abrams, right? At some point it became, all right, how much is this helpful to him? How much is this helpful to us? And eventually you had to make that move to where he goes down and he's starting to get his 3 homers in his first 2 games. So he's kind of got his feet down, and you just hope the same thing can happen for Denelson. Learn how to kind of, in games that don't necessarily, no, that don't necessarily, that don't matter, let's be real, they don't matter, right? You can go down there, you can work on some things, work on your confidence, because I think that's the other thing that I think he's lacking right now. When he was rolling, you could just see it in his swag on the mound, the way he paced it, the way he ran out onto the bump. He was a confident dude, and success breeds that. He hasn't had a lot of it this year, and so he gets to go down and kind of create all of those things that it's a little bit harder to do at the big league level, for sure.
All right, Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Atlanta. He's nice enough to be with us here. He's got to get ready for the broadcast. But while I have you for a short time, have you gone through the entire NFL schedule like a lot of nerds out there and predicted the winner and loser of every single NFL game going to be played this year?
I did not.
You didn't?
I did not.
I can't believe it, nor did I. But I know a lot of people who did. I read reports. There was a tweet post. There was Instagram post, Facebook, wherever I went today. On social media, see how your team's going to do. We predict every game of the 2022 season.
Yeah, I saw that clickbait. Yeah. I saw that too.
Why are we even going to play the games? I mean, the schedule's out. Yeah, we know how everybody's going to do, apparently, but
because they know clearly who's going to be hurt by that time. Because you guarantee there will be some ACLs, some Achilles that happen at some point between now and then. But they got all that calculated in there, I assume.
Apparently, they have all that figured out. You're right. I mean, teams are so different throughout the year, and just because a team did one thing last season doesn't mean they're going to be able to do it this season. But it was a lot of fun. Schedule got released yesterday. We'll run it down a little bit later with Scraby and I on the program. NBA playoffs, Tony. Last night, where did James Harden go,
man,
with the season on the line for his Philadelphia 76ers? He's taking a lot of heat. And this is a guy who's taken heat in the past, but in an elimination win-or-go-home game, didn't get a field goal attempt in the second half.
Yeah, man.
Unheard of. I mean, even I would get a shot out there somewhere.
The irony of James Harden being traded for Ben Simmons.
That's right.
Who was I mean, ridiculed by all of us, really, and rightfully so, for not shooting in the playoffs, to get a guy only for him to do the same thing in an elimination game in the playoffs is the irony is very thick at this point. So,
yeah, because Ben Simmons probably took more than zero shots in the Sixers elimination game last year,
well,
whatever it
he
was.
He took shots that led him not to take any more shots, whereas James just didn't take any in the second half. And, you know, a few former players have pointed to, and one in particular being Amari Stoudemire, who was on, I believe, on that staff last year with Steve Nash when they got James Harden. He basically said this dude he hasn't taken care of his body, and he's out of shape. I also heard Kendrick Perkins kind of allude to that. Now, certainly we've seen James, you know, become more lovable and less lovable throughout the course of the season. And I didn't notice it this year, but clearly something wrong. Either he aged in dog years or he had nothing left. There's only two things. I don't think he intentionally didn't shoot, but I do think maybe he was gassed and out of shape.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because everybody's focused on that and Philadelphia losing, but this Miami team was a lot better this year than people gave them credit for. They did win the East. They were the number one seed. Talked about Eric Spoelstra yesterday. Jimmy Butler is an underrated playoff gutty performer who does everything necessary to win a game.
Did you hear him? Did you hear his comments after walking into the locker room?
I did, and you know what? I thought of you immediately because these athletes, guys like Jimmy Butler at least, they use any edge they can think of.
How long ago was that? 3 years ago?
3 years ago, this guy beat him out for something, and Jimmy Butler remembered it and made sure that he paid it back in spades last night.
He didn't just beat him out. Basically, the 76ers chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. They gave him the 5-year deal. Jimmy ended up signing a 4-year deal.
Oh, that's right, because Butler was a Sixer. That's right.
They came up in free agency at the same time, and he let it be known. You chose Tobias Harris over me?
That's what athletes that are great athletes do, man. They use any edge, perceived slight that they can get. And Butler, to me, he's a scoring version of the likes of, you know, Draymond Green Warriors and Drew Holiday in Milwaukee. Butler does things to help you win, he can also, you know, back it up with some scoring. And James Harden, by the way, made an awful play at the end of that game when Butler got the rebound and then let him free in the corner to hit the clinching three. Harden just wasn't there. So
it's very unique because the personality, the DNA of a Miami Heat since Spoelstra and Pat Riley, it's a unique player that has to play there, or you just get eaten up and chewed out, right? But it's unique that you are able to go into the free agency pool and hand pluck a guy like that and him fit like absolutely perfect.
Yeah, he's
a perfect fit there. We saw them like getting after each other a few weeks ago, and it seemed like any other team the stories about that would have been about turmoil, and it would have spiraled into something else. Not them. That storyline happened, and it moved on the very next day. And you see why this team is good. They're going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's going to have an edge going into the finals too, because most people are going to pick against the Heat. They're going to pick either Milwaukee or Boston. Be careful. Miami is better than you think. Real quick, I don't know what's the matter with the Phoenix Suns. You called it. Dallas blows them out last night in Game 6 to send it to a Game 7. That is not supposed to happen to a team that had a better record than everybody in the NBA by 10 games this season. But all of a sudden, Phoenix can't get out of its way. Now, they still might survive the series because Game 7 is back on their home floor. But they no longer look like the odds-on favorite to win a championship to me.
They, a lot of times, don't, because I think they have been so much better than everybody else, they don't have to play perfect basketball. I think they have to against Dallas. What you saw yesterday was Dallas get going early. You saw stupid turnovers by the Suns, which you don't often see. And quite frankly, I think that they have awoken a team that I think they are they are better than, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You look at the roster, the Suns are better than the Mavericks, and I don't think it's close. But because of the way the chippiness of this series, and this doesn't always work out this way, but sometimes you don't poke a bear, right? You don't wake a sleeping giant, and there's been a lot of trash talk, specifically Devin Booker and Luka Doncic.
Don't forget Booker and Mark Cuban last night. I love Cuban.
That's right.
He loves to get into it. He's so funny to me because he's got it all in the proper perspective. But he was poking Devin Booker a little at the end of that game.
100%. And you know what's interesting is the good ones don't acknowledge him during the game. And I don't know if Booker actually acknowledged him during the game, but certainly Mark was trying to get his attention. I saw it a couple of different times. But that series, it's a 50-50 game in Game 7. It doesn't matter that it's in Phoenix either, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Dallas has already won there once. So
we'll see.
We'll see how this goes.
Tonight will be interesting. Couple of Game 6s, Boston, Milwaukee, Memphis, and Golden State. Stanley Cup playoffs are going to have 3 Game 7s tomorrow,
man,
including
my
Kings
couldn't close
Edmonton.
It out.
They were close, man. They caught up to 2-2. Edmonton scored right at the end and then added an empty net goal. Tampa Bay, the 2-time champs, survived in overtime to take Toronto to a Game 7. All right, Tony, we'll let you go. Get ready for the broadcast. For reasons that we will explain in the next segment, I think more people are going to be listening to you tonight than almost any game this season, because there's a lot of people out there that are not going to be able to watch tonight's ball game.
Yay,
we'll explain about that. So you and Jesse, be on your best behavior. Have a good call tonight, and we'll catch up with you Monday in Philadelphia.
All right, brother. You guys have
Thanks,
a good
buddy.
One.
There he goes, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris Ello here. We'll take a quick break, come back. So why will you potentially not be able to watch Padre baseball tonight? And how mad are we about that? We will explain when Gwynn and Chris returns on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to the program. A short program. We'll be done within the hour. 2:22 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego. Robinson Cano officially signed by the Padres. Just a little while ago, they made it official. He will be available, apparently, for tonight's game, although he's not in the starting lineup. Whether you can watch him make his Padres debut might be another question, though. We'll discuss that in a second. First, I wanted to congratulate Ted Leitner, named today as the 2022 inductee, along with Larry Lucchino, into the Padres Hall of Fame. It's a well-deserved honor for Uncle Teddy, so congratulations out there to my former Aztec. Well, I was his sidekick on Aztec football for a few years.
I see where you went with that.
I was almost going to say my partner on Aztec football, but that really wouldn't have been accurate. But Ted Leitner, the voice of Padre baseball for pretty much most of my lifetime, so very happy for Ted Leitner. It's a nice honor for the Padres, and they will recognize him in the Padres Hall of Fame. Larry Lucchino as well. Larry Lucchino, every time you go to Petco Park, you need to thank Larry Lucchino. He was behind the driving force that got Petco Park done back when he was operating the Padres. So two very well-deserving guys will be members of the Padre Hall of Fame. One thing that I'm not putting in any Hall of Fame is this Apple TV Friday night Major League Baseball game.
Don't get me started.
And well, I'm going to get you started because tonight's Padre Brave game is not on local television. You cannot watch it anywhere, anyhow.
You cannot.
The only way you can access tonight's game is through Apple TV Plus. And I'm going to step out of the way and let Scraby explain how in the world you might go about doing that, because I frankly don't know.
You would go. Well, some people already have it, so they're fine. They're just going to go to their regular Apple TV Plus, and they're going
to
log in.
They subscribe to Apple TV. They watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah, all that stuff.
They watch the morning show, so they know what's on Apple TV.
Yeah.
And they can just access it like that.
Yes, they just go to their Apple TV. They'll find it, and they can click it, and they can watch it there.
All right, now, but if you don't have an Apple TV subscription, do you have any chance of watching the game?
You do. Because it's the free game of the week. So you can go to Apple TV, or you could Google, basically, Padres Apple TV Plus, and it will come up with that. Now, you have to sign in with your login for either Apple or iTunes or whatever the heck you use these days.
And so that is a major commitment.
But that's also on a browser. So if you want to watch the game on your TV, I'm sure it's a whole different process. Unless
it's
you have
an
a nice
entirely
TV.
Different process, as far as I can tell. And signing in with your email address and creating a password on the television is a royal pain in the you know
it
what.
It really is.
It's a royal pain in the schnikey.
In the schnikey.
So,
holy schnikes!
I got to be honest with you. I think, you know, even the really good, the diehard Padre fans are going to put up with this. They're going to do whatever they can to find a way to watch the game tonight. But the average Padre fan is going to tune out. And this is, again, yet another horrible miscalculation by Major League Baseball. This
so
is
bad.
What, this is all this is. It's another money grab for a sport that tries to claim they don't have any money, going out, accepting the big fee from Apple TV so that Apple TV can steal their game away tonight and show it to a, quote, national audience.
Yeah.
The only national audience that's going to watch this, though, are very savvy streaming people, and that is mostly a, quote, younger audience. I understand that that's a good idea because baseball is trying to gain a younger audience. However, they're playing the game on a Friday night at 7:20 Eastern time. Excuse me, Scraby, you were young once. I was young so long ago I don't remember, but 7:20 on a Friday night, I am not home alone watching baseball. I am out doing something, and the chances are they're not going to have the game on in any sports bar because they don't stream sports bars that I know of. This is a colossal error by baseball.
Well, they also have
and
it Sunday.
And tonight the pot – well, I was going to get to that
in a minute.
But
sorry.
My point is this is a colossal error by baseball. And all they're doing is upsetting Padre fans, I'm sure Brave fans alike. So, and get used to it, right? Because as Scraby just pointed out, Sunday's game is not on even free TV.
No.
It's on Peacock.
Yes.
Which is the NBC streaming affiliate. It comes on at 8:35 Sunday morning.
That is early for a game.
Which is even before you go to church.
Seriously.
And you're going to have to pay a fee if you're not already a member of Peacock. I am not. I don't know
I'm
if
not
you
either.
Are.
No.
So you're going to have to pay a one-time fee if you want to watch the game on Sunday. I can't believe baseball is doing this to its dyed-in-the-wool fans, most of whom are not very familiar with streaming.
No, I would agree. I mean, I think that this idea, like, having, for me, it was a little difficult to find all the pieces, and I'm really good at the streaming stuff.
Yeah, I consider myself to be all right, but there's no way I'm paying an extra fee to watch the Padre game on Sunday.
See, that's
and I don't know if I'm going to jump through all the hoops to watch the game tonight either.
This is just a complete, I've said it a million times, this is all being negotiated, by the way, during the player lockout. So they were all going to make this money. It's just it's a money grab. This is all it is. They want Apple to pay them to broadcast their game, same with Peacock, and that's all it is. It's a money grab. There's no other way around it. They don't care about whether or not fans can watch their own team.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of older, you know, fans out there, like my mom, for instance, who only knows the game on Bally Sports
True.
San Diego.
True,
she'll have trouble finding tomorrow's game, which is also being broadcast on FS1. So baseball moving its product all over the dial, making it really, really difficult to follow the Padres this weekend. Of course, we can solve that for you here on 97.3 The Fan. You can just listen to the games with Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr., and they will paint a wonderful picture for you.
They sure will.
About everything that's going on. The pregame show starts at 3:20 with Sam Levitt. But this was something that when baseball first made this arrangement with Apple TV, we all said, what a stupid money grab.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really think it through to the point of where we are here now on a Friday afternoon, 2 hours before the game, thinking to ourselves, A, do I know what in the world to do in order to be able to watch it? B, if I do know what to do, am I going to be willing to jump through all the hoops necessary to watch this game tonight?
And one further, I know that if you have the MLB TV package where you get to watch all the different games around the country, if you go click on that game, you are not allowed to watch it because it's in your broadcast area.
Well,
which is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, Major
you
League
pay
base-
for that.
Major League Baseball just continuing to shoot itself in the foot. You know what this reminds me of? When the NFL, for all those years, Scraby, had the blackout restrictions in the local markets. And if you were in Los Angeles, you had to drive beyond San Diego to watch a Rams game. And that used to just drive everybody crazy. It took the National Football League about 30 years to figure out that, you know what, their product is good enough. People are still going to go to the games to put all the games on television. Baseball apparently has not gotten the message. This is awful tonight. Honestly, if I'm a Padre fan out there, don't take it out on the Padres. Don't be calling the Padre offices complaining, although I'm sure most of you will because you don't have anywhere else to call. But call Major League Baseball. I mean, honestly, send your letters. Call Major League Baseball. Tell them how much you disapprove of this keeping you from watching Padres baseball tonight. But leave the Padres alone. They didn't have a say in this.
They did not have a say.
This is shoved down their throat by Major League Baseball. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Robinson Cano is a Padre. Denelson Lamet goes to the minor leagues. We will discuss what that means when we come back. We will also have our Friday countdown. Scraby and I will be kicking around the NFL schedule. That's when Gwynn and Chris continues on 97.3 The Fan. Pretty much the only place you can catch Padre baseball on this Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn is in Atlanta. He'll call tonight's game along with Jesse Agler, a game that many of you are not going to be able to watch because it's being televised only on Apple Plus, the streaming service. And like Scraby said, if you've got Apple Plus, terrific.
You're good.
How many people do you think subscribe to Apple Plus?
I have a lot of my friends that do, so I would say more than
25% of the potential viewing audience.
I'll give it even a third.
A little higher, 33%.
Ted Lasso really got a lot of people to sign up.
Well, that all be very well may be good, but 67% of the people are not into this at all, at least by our unofficial calculations. And that means no Padre baseball. And, again, I feel bad for people like my mom who watches all the games on Bally Sports. She's not streaming the game tonight.
No.
She's 90 years old. You know, she's not getting her phone and signing up for the service for one night and plugging in a password. She's just going to miss watching Padre baseball tonight.
I think in the big scheme of things, baseball, and that's really sad about your mom because there's so many other people that this is what they look forward to during the day.
Absolutely.
Sitting down and watching the game.
Yeah.
And it gets them through their day. And baseball's kind of like, well,
we don't care about you.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
We don't care about you. We'll take the money. We don't care about you. That's baseball's attitude. And to furthermore, somebody brought up the point that there are areas where you try to stream the game on radio. Is that the proper terminology?
You stream the game on the app, on your phone.
Okay, on the app. But if you're not connected to a San Diego...
Here's how it
streaming
works.
Explain it to me. Because I
have a phone company that does not connect to a San Diego tower. It doesn't think I'm in San Diego. It knows I'm in Southern California. Due to Major League Baseball rules, we can only broadcast to the app if you are in San Diego County. So if your Wi-Fi at home, it says that you're in San Diego, you can listen to that. But sometimes when I go out and I try to listen to the phone on like a run or a walk or something like that, it will give me not the game because it doesn't think I'm in San Diego. And that's on the phone provider. I know there's a lot of lot of technicality to everything. But in the end, Major League Baseball is making it harder on people to consume the sport.
Yeah, I don't know why you would ever want to do that if you're Major League Baseball, unless you got a big fat paycheck and you just don't care. And that seems pretty obvious to me that that's the way things stand. Padres fans care about Denelson Lamet, and I'm sure they're very surprised to see him sent down to the minor leagues today. But as I mentioned to Tony, this is a surprise in name only. This is not a surprise in terms of performance. Since Denelson Lamet has been taken out of the starting rotation and put into the bullpen, he's one of the worst pitchers on the team. He's got an ERA of 9.72. He's got a walks and hits to innings pitch ratio of 2.04. He's walked 7 in 8 1/3 innings. He's allowed 10 hits. He really hasn't had a single good outing that I can recall. Maybe back to the first homestand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just been a total struggle. So, you know, people say, well, what are you going to do with Denelson Lamet? You got to get him down there to let him pitch and get his confidence back so he can come back and be part of a successful bullpen. That's what you have to do, and that's what they're doing.
Someone replied to my tweet about Denelson Lamet, and they said, let me find this real quick. Why didn't we? He's been totally ineffective. And so I wrote back saying, fans are really quick to turn your back on a player. And someone wrote back to me, results-based business. It's like, whoa.
Oh, I know.
This guy was like the fan favorite coming into the year.
He's not
results-based business.
He's not the first major league player, a young major league player, to be sent down to the minor leagues. And many of them get down there and get it figured out and come back better than ever. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But Denelson Lamet certainly has been an X factor for the Padres that has been in the negative column so far this year.
Yeah,
and it's been surprising.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the push came to shove, Robinson Cano gets signed today. You got to make a move, a corresponding move, and that's a corresponding move that the Padres chose to make. Like I said, it seems surprising because of the name Denelson Lamet. Not surprising given the performance. And look, hope he goes down there and has just half the success that C.J. Abrams is having. Abrams hit another home run last night?
He did. He's hit 3 in the last 2 games.
Pretty good start to his Triple-A career.
Yes, it's a really good start to his career.
All right. Yesterday, the NFL schedule came out. As if anybody didn't notice, it dominated the sports headlines. As I mentioned to Tony earlier, it drives me crazy, but people honestly went through the schedule last night all over the place, predicted the outcome for every single game this season. Did you do that for the 49ers?
Well, since I'm ranting right now, I was trying to look for the 49ers schedule last night, and I kept Googling 49ers schedule, and all I got was reviews of each game. So I just wanted... So I had to go to the official website to actually
get the list. You just want
the
schedule. You don't want a prediction
yes,
on every
no,
single
I
game.
No, I did not. I mean,
what
of course,
every game means. And,
yeah. Of course, though, I look at it and I go, okay, they could probably win that game, but I'm not, like, breaking it down.
It's much ado about nothing, but it's a lot of fun, the schedule, and so it is that leads us into today's countdown topic.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top 5 of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top 5 list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, every Friday we count something down in the world of sports. Actually, not always the world of sports.
True.
Just something that we are in the mood to count down. Today it is going to be a sports-related topic, though, Scraby.
Mm-hmm.
There are 272 games on the NFL regular season schedule.
That's a lot.
Yes. 272 total games will be played this regular season. We are going to count down the best 5.
According to us.
According to us.
Okay, good.
The 5 games that we are looking forward to the most this coming NFL season. Out of the 272 that are on the schedule, our timing was off there. Do you want to play that again?
Yes, it was. I'm sorry. I thought you were pausing.
I know. I didn't.
Oh.
Number 5.
All right. Number 5. Scraby's going to go first. Your 5th most anticipated game on the schedule this year is?
My fifth is the Broncos at the Seahawks week one. I know this is kind of crazy that I'm picking a Seahawks game, but I am very interested to see how Seahawks fans react to Russell Wilson coming back home and it being so early, literally his first game in a Bronco uniform.
It is pretty delicious of the NFL to match it up with Russell Wilson, the longtime Seahawk, going to the Denver Broncos. And his very first game being in Seattle, where he starred, led them to a Super Bowl championship, led them to back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, it is kind of must-see TV. Totally agree with you, Scraby.
What about yours?
The Broncos-Seahawks game was in my best of the rest. Didn't quite make it. My number five game that I'm looking forward to is in week three. It'll be the Green Bay Packers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Looking forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady go at it. Probably the last time they will face each other.
I saw this game.
And I feel like since it's in week three, they'll probably both still be healthy. Both still be in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I want to see these masters go at it one more time. The last time they played was in the 2020 NFC Championship game. That was in Green Bay. And Brady pulled off the victory, if you recall.
He did.
31-26. The other thing, a Green Bay-Tampa Bay matchup, especially one played in Tampa, gives us a chance for is the rebirth of the great rivalry that there used to be between the Packers and the Buccaneers.
I had no idea they even had one.
They did. They both played in the NFC Central Division for many years. And Green Bay and Tampa Bay played each other twice a year. And as the story goes, Tampa Bay went to Green Bay one year. And on the scoreboard, instead of putting Tampa Bay at Lambeau Field, they just shortened it and put Tampa.
Yes.
So the Tampa Bay people were not too happy about this. When Green Bay returned later in the season to play down in South Florida,
they started green.
Tampa Bay on the scoreboard just put green.
Ah.
I always remember that. So you got the opportunity for some hijinks there as well. Green Bay at Tampa Bay is my number five game I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I looked at that one many times. That was in the top seven.
Yeah, that's close. Should be a great game with those two guys battling it out one last time.
Number four.
My number four is going to be a little bit surprising as well, I think. It's going to be a Thanksgiving Day matchup. I think Tony may have said this yesterday, but he's looking at the game between the Bills and the Lions in Detroit.
What?
Mainly because the Bills are going to be a high-flying team. They're going to be a Super Bowl favorite. And the Lions can also do some really awesome things, and they have awesome players. They do.
What can they do?
They put up a ton of points at the end of last year, and they started playing together as a team. Amon-Ra St. Brown making all the catches and all that stuff.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. I'm really excited.
Talking about the Detroit Lions.
And here we go. Why I'm excited for it, because there's never a good game on Thanksgiving Day,
and that one's going to go right along with the rest of them.
I think it will be a fun, high scoring.
The Lions were 0-10-1 at one point last season.
I realized that.
They ended up winning three of their last six.
See?
They finished up with a win against Green Bay when Green Bay was resting all of its players. So,
I think Dan Campbell, even though he might not be
I don't
be
know
the,
why you like Dan Campbell. Just because he's a kneecap cannibal doesn't make him a good coach.
It doesn't, but I think that the players buy into him and what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. They proved it last year.
Okay. They lost games. They lost a game with an NFL record field goal?
66-yard field goal beat them one game.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Name a couple of, like, who are you going to draft in your fantasy league on the Lions?
Amon
St. Brown?
Yeah.
Had two 100-yard games last year.
TJ Hawkinson.
All right. Well, you will go ahead. I'll leave them all for
you. Who's the running back?
DeAndre Swift?
Yes. He was very good until he got hurt.
He was hurt almost the entire season. All right. Bills, Lions.
I told you.
I will agree with you on one thing. I do like waking up on Thanksgiving morning and, you know, getting the turkey in the oven and sitting down and watching a game. The problem is it's always a Lions game. So. Yeah,
it always has to be the Lions first. You want to get the worst part
keeping
out.
Keeping with the holiday theme, my number four game I'm looking forward to will be on Christmas Day, week 16, at 10 o'clock in the morning kickoff here between the Green Bay Packers once again, and the Miami Dolphins.
You love Aaron Rodgers.
I don't, but I love the Dolphins, and it will be my Christmas present to get up on Christmas morning and watch them play a national TV game. They only have three of them again this year, so I don't get a chance to see them play very much. I'm not as crazy as a big fan as I am, Scraby. Mm-hmm. I do not go out on Sundays to sports bars and track down Dolphin games. I only watch the ones that are made available to me.
Yeah.
And that is one. And any Dolphin fan should be able to tell you that Christmas Day is a memorable day for Dolphins football because it was on that day in 1971, Scraby, that the Dolphins beat the Chiefs in double overtime in what is still the longest NFL playoff game ever played.
Really?
Yeah, the longest game was on a Christmas Day back in 1971. So Christmas Day, week 16, my number four game, Packers and Dolphins.
Number three.
My number three game is week six. It's actually the game that changed how overtime in the playoffs works.
Yeah.
Bills at Chiefs. It's the same exact game in Kansas City. Same quarterbacks, same wide receivers minus Tyreek Hill on the Chiefs side. But it's still going to be a pretty awesome game. So that's my number three.
All right. Good selection.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know why I think it's a good selection?
Because it's your number three?
It's my number three as well. Week six, Buffalo at Kansas City. Who wouldn't want to see these two teams play again after the classic 42-36 overtime game?
It's one of the best games I've ever seen.
I wish they didn't change the overtime rule as a result of this game, but they did. That's not going to matter in this game. If it goes to overtime and Buffalo loses the coin flip, Kansas City can go down and score, and that's ball
game.
It's true. So it could be the same as last year. But Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes, it's a great young rivalry. Get the feeling, didn't Josh Allen crush Patrick Mahomes in the regular season last year? Sure he did.
Well, Patrick Mahomes struggled a little bit.
Early in the season.
Early in the season, but Josh Allen struggled as well. Remember when they got beat by the Jaguars in Jacksonville?
They had their moments where they didn't play well. But, early in the season, Buffalo went into Kansas City and won 38-20.
Oh, yes.
Last year. So, and it is interesting that the NFL has a run like this where these two teams are meeting three times in the last 2 years, but all three meetings are in Kansas City. It just kind of works out that way because of the
oddities of the schedule.
The oddities of the schedule.
And if you're Buffalo, you're feeling pretty good about yourselves because you go in there and you've competed twice.
They know they can win that game.
Number two.
My number two is going to be the only 49er game of the countdown for me. And it's in week 14. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to San Francisco to take on the Niners. Brady going back to the Bay, where he grew up and loved and wanted to become a part of the 49ers, but they said no thank you, according to reports. And I think it's going to be a pretty special game for him.
Has he ever played in San Francisco? I mean, he was with the Patriots, so they were in different conferences.
You know, I can remember them.
I would think that he must have played out there at least once. He's been in the league for 100 years. I mean,
I'm going to look it up. While you do yours.
All right, so your number two is
Brady,
Buccaneers.
Yes,
at Niners week, was it 14?
14, yes.
All right. My number two game is the very first game on the schedule, week one. Buffalo Bills at Los Angeles Rams. I think that's an unbelievable matchup. To me, it should have been the Super Bowl matchup last year. I thought Buffalo was the best team in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't prove it. They didn't get it done against KC in the playoff game. But I thought Buffalo was going to play the Rams in the Super Bowl last year at SoFi Stadium. Turns out I got to wait until week one of this season. So not only that, it's the kickoff of the season, so everybody's excited. But I can't think of a much better matchup than Bills-Rams to start the year. That's my number two selection.
Wow. By the way, looking through Tom Brady's Pro Football Reference is like 17,000 pages because
I know,
he's played
take you
for so long.
To track
he's
this
played
down.
For so long.
Number one.
My number one is I actually ended up with two week one matchups on my list, and it will be the kickoff to the entire season. Basically, I'm just excited, even though it contains the Rams, I'm just excited for football to be back this day, whatever day it is. And it's Bills at Rams to kick off the season.
That's what I just said. Were you paying attention to anything I said in my number two selection? My number two selection was Bills at Rams.
I did not hear that.
You came on with your game like, oh, man, nobody's ever heard of this game.
I was looking for Tom Brady's career record. Sorry.
Very good.
Man, I got caught.
All right. So that is the number one game for you.
Yes.
All right. I can't believe that you left this one for me.
Really?
Yes. The number one game of the year, without question. I mean, it's the game I circled immediately.
Dolphins Niners?
Week 13 at San Francisco. You and I are going to be there.
Okay.
By hook or by crook.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins and the San Francisco 49ers. Absolutely. That's got to be the game of the year.
The reason it's not my game
of
the year. I
can't wait for this game. I'm already fired up about it. I know you and I are going to beat each other's throats before, during, and after the game. And I'm hoping for a similar result to the game a couple of years ago up in San Francisco when the Dolphins blew them out 43-17.
Well, that's the thing is I don't want to pop off like I did that one time when they were about to play and then the Dolphins crushed the 49ers.
Well, by the time they get together in week 13, we'll know a whole lot more about these teams.
Okay, so I finally found it. That took me forever.
Brady at San Francisco.
One game in San Francisco in 2016, he did.
Crazy. Yeah. All right, so he'll play there again. All right, there's our top five games on the NFL schedule, our countdown for this week. When we come back, winners and losers, and a final segment, Daily Gambit, as Gwen and Chris wraps up and gets you ready for Padre baseball on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, the crazy hijinks of Gwen and Chris. Welcome back to the program. 3:01 is the time. We are almost done here. Very short show today. We will have a full four-hour show on Monday. Padres will be traveling from Atlanta to Philadelphia on Sunday night, and they have an off day Monday on this road trip. So we will get a full 4 hours in on Monday, and should be a good sports weekend. Lots of game sevens coming up if you're into that kind of thing. In the NBA, NHL, rather, Dallas and Phoenix are going to go to a game seven in the NBA. And based on what happens tonight, you could still see a game seven Boston-Milwaukee. You could see one Memphis-Golden State. Both those series go to Game 6 tonight. We'll talk about that in a second on the Daily Gambit. Stanley Cup playoffs, you're going to have three Game 7s tomorrow alone.
I'm tuning in.
Well, Game 7, I mean, look at these guys play like their hair's on fire and everything's on the line in Game 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So just think how they ratcheted up in Game 7. I'll tell you one thing about hockey. You may not be, you know, as big a hockey fan as you are other sports. You're not going to get any James Harden performances by any hockey players tomorrow in Game 7.
No.
Nobody's going to show up.
Yes. They're not going to take it easy.
If you are willing to give your time to watch them, they are going to give you effort. That is something you get in the Stanley Cup playoffs from all of these pro hockey players. They will play their schnikes off for you tomorrow in Game 7. Kings are in Edmonton, Tampa Bay, Toronto.
Holy schnikes!
Yes, Boston, Carolina. Those are the three Game 7s tomorrow. And there are three other series that tonight have a Game 6. So they, too, could go to a Game 7. You could actually end up with six Game 7s in NHL this weekend.
That's a lot.
That would be quite a few, for sure. All right, Scraby, what else is going on? We mentioned, if you're just tuning in, Robinson Cano has officially been signed. Corresponding move, surprising to some, to Nelson Lamet, sent to the minor leagues. And make sure you keep it here on 97.3 The Fan, because might be the only way you can follow tonight's game, which is being televised or streamed on Apple Plus TV, not on local television.
I've been getting a lot of pushback on the...
What are you getting pushback on? That people think we're wrong?
They think that I'm going a little too hard in the paint on these streaming services.
I love the streaming services, but just I think that and I have a lot of them. I have Apple TV.
I have a ton of them.
I have Hulu. I have Netflix. And I think I have Amazon Prime. So I'm all set.
You are streamed.
I'm streamed. But I'm thinking of the huge chunk of the audience out there that is not.
Yeah, that's
who
we're talking to.
Just because you've got stream, yeah, I'm talking to those people. They're the ones that are left out tonight. If you got Apple TV, this is not a big deal. You click one thing, another button, you watch the game.
If you're one of those people that hit me up in my DMs and said I was going too hard on the paint in the paint on it, then think about your grandma wanting to watch whatever she wants to watch and she can't do it. Now you feel bad.
Think about my mom, honestly, who watches every single game. And as you said, Scraby, she's 90 years old. She looks forward to every single game. That makes her day.
Yeah.
And she can't watch the game tonight. And there's no way I'm going to be able to call her.
I think you need to send Kylie over there to help her out.
Kylie over there to hook up my mom's streaming service.
Yes.
I can tell you that is not going to happen. And as a matter of fact, after the show's over, I'm going to have to call my mom and try to talk her off the ledge.
Oh,
she's
no.
not going to be happy about this. All right, let's get into a quick rendition of today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris, and we will get into our bets for tonight. I have done some research, so I think that will be fun. I think it will be fun, Chris.
You've done research, so yes. It doesn't necessarily you're going to get any more bets
right.
correct.
No. But first, the show is presented by Gomez Trial Attorneys. Seriously injured? Get a real trial attorney. Get Gomez. Now, on yesterday, Thursday, the Heat and the Sixers, they played. The Sixers were 2-point favorites in the game. Chris and Tony took the Sixers. I took the Heat. The Heat ended up winning 99-90.
What was your reasoning behind that selection?
Jimmy Butler kind of scares me.
You had no clue.
No, Jimmy Butler kind of scares me. And when Jimmy Butler gets something into his head, he's going to get it done.
Well, I will tell you one thing. I will never waste good or bad money on James Harden again.
He's
lost me forever with that performance last night.
There is
you talk about letting down himself, his team, his city, everybody believed in him on that trade from Brooklyn, and he goes out and does that.
It's pretty bad.
Pathetic.
Pretty bad. Now, the next game was the Suns and the Mavericks in Dallas, and the Suns were 2-point favorites on the road. Chris, you took the Suns. Tony and I took the Mavs. The Mavs did win big, 113-86. This NBA playoffs really hasn't had any great games yet.
You know what? I did a little checking on this.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Last night's Phoenix loss by 27 points was the 17th playoff game already this season that has been decided by 20 or more points.
Wow.
17 games have been decided by 20 points. That doesn't count the games that have been decided by 18, 19
Seriously.
Points. I mean, there's been so many blowouts. There's only been one overtime game the entire postseason. That was the game where Embiid hit the shot to beat Toronto. There's been some good games in this Milwaukee-Boston series. But you're right, Scraby. It seems like it's been one blowout after another.
Yeah, I love the NBA playoffs because of the great games, but it's been hard for me at least to
They've
get
into them.
They've
been few and far between.
Yes. And then the next bet we made was a bet on the NHL. It was the Oilers and the Kings. We took it on the puck line, everybody. That was with a P. The Oilers were on the road, but they had a one. Or they were minus 1.5 on the puck line, so they had to win by 2.
And
Chris
and
Tony took the Kings. I took the Oilers. The Oilers did win by 2-4-2.
You're such a naysayer. I mean, come on. Everybody in Southern California is rooting for the Kings. You're rooting for the Edmonton Oilers. You know where that is, Edmonton? It's north,
somewhere in Canada.
Way up there in Canada. It's not just in Canada. It's in like North Alberta. You're betting on
them. It's not my problem.
But that was a 2-2 game with 5 minutes to go. Edmonton scored.
Really? I did not know that.
And then Edmonton got the empty net goal, which put them ahead to win by 2. So, tough break. Kings have to go back to Northern Alberta now to try and win that series.
The only failed bet I had from yesterday was another NHL bet, the Maple Leafs at the Lightning. Lightning favored in the money line. Chris, you took the Lightning, and Tony and I took the Maple Leafs, but the Lightning won the game 4-3.
Unbelievable. Tampa Bay now 18 consecutive victories following a loss in Stanley Cup play. That is remarkable. That's why they've won 2 straight titles. They'll put their title on the line in Game 7 tomorrow.
All right, let's kind of quickly go through these just to make sure we get them all in. But Darvish is on the mound tonight for the Padres. His strikeout over-under is 6.5.
Whoa!
Over is plus 124.
Dang.
Under is minus 162, so they don't think he's going to get to seven strikeouts, Chris.
Well, the Braves lead the National League in striking out.
They do.
299 yes. times, so I will take Yu Darvish here to go over.
You'll go over. I will go over as well, and we'll explain that in 1 second. Now, on the other side, it's Max Fried. His is over under 5.5, and the over is plus 114. I am going to say over because Max Fried is very good.
I'll agree with you.
Okay. Now, these are the research bets that I made. Yu Darvish, now this is it's a parlay. So Yu Darvish has to have 9+ strikeouts, Chris.
Nine?
And the Padres win for plus 800. Now, you just said it. The Braves lead the National League in striking out. They're fourth most in all of baseball. And fun fact, they have struck out 32 more times at home this season. I am going to say I'm taking that bet.
So the Padres have to win. That's the other part.
They have
to
win.
It would be a real
Darvish
bummer if you
nine.
Bet this and Darvish got over 9 strikeouts yeah. and the Padres didn't win. So I won't bet it. That's too many
okay.
things to happen. And Darvish has not been getting the strikeout numbers.
He has not, you're right.
This year that he had in the past.
All right, next one is they lowered in this three-leg parlay. Yu Darvish, 7+ strikeouts. Manny Machado hits a home run and the Padres win. Plus 1,400. Now, Manny, in 60 plate appearances in that park, he has a 932 OPS, 3 homers, 3 doubles, and a triple at the park. So I'm going to say that he does it because I searched and researched.
That is really reaching. What is that payoff?
Plus 1,400.
Yeah, so 14-1 odds. Why not? Come on, Manny.
If there is a guy on the team that's going to hit a home run,
Darvish is going to get the 7 strikeouts, so I think I like that.
Yeah, that's, that makes it easier.
I didn't like 9 strikeouts, but no. I like the 7.
Yeah, you get a break on the strikeouts.
I like the Manny home run.
All right, so this is a 3-team parlay in this one. It will be the Miami Marlins beating the Milwaukee Brewers.
Nope.
The Cincinnati Reds at the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Maybe.
And then the Padres over the Braves.
Maybe.
So that's a plus 1228 parlay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
The problem I have is the Brewers and the Marlins.
Corbin
Brewers,
Burns, Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, Lopez has pitched well, but he's not Corbin Burns yet. So
no.
I'll say no on that parlay.
I will also say no because I don't think that's going to happen as well. Now to the NBA tonight, Celtics and Bucks. The Bucks are at home, 1-point favorite. Chris,
I like the Bucks. I think the championship play by Jrue Holiday in Game 5 is going to carry over tonight. Should be a That's a game you can count on to be close. But 1 point doesn't matter. Milwaukee finds a way to keep its title hopes, repeat hopes alive.
I think the Greek Freak, Giannis, isn't he? He's going to play angry. Didn't something happen
in the
last game?
Been angry the whole series. I mean, it doesn't take much to make him angry.
So I'm going to go Bucks as well.
All right.
Grizzlies at the Warriors tonight after coming off of that terrible performance in Memphis for the Warriors.
They were down by 52
yes.
points.
Without John Morant, the Grizzlies were.
Yeah.
The Warriors are 8-point favorites. I'm going to say the Warriors finally close out the series.
I think they'll close out the series, but I'm going to take the 8 points. I have a sneaky
okay.
suspicion that Memphis finds a way to get the confidence off last game to stay close tonight.
All right. Rangers and Penguins.
Yes. One
five-star
hockey
bet. Money line is on the Rangers at the Penguins. The Rangers are the favorite in the game. Five-star bet, Chris.
It's at Pittsburgh, but Sidney Crosby is
He's
not
hurt.
Playing
I did see
tonight.
That. I did see that.
Gives the Rangers a fighting chance. Doesn't matter. Penguins beat them.
Ooh, I'm going to take the Rangers.
Eliminate the Rangers. I like the Pens.
I like the Penguins. Or I like the Rangers with no Sidney Crosby. Last one. And then I'm going to hit the end of the show music. Sam Levitt is pacing out there. I know he wants to get in here.
He's getting ready for the pregame show that you're not letting him do.
I know. All right, last one, Chris. Panthers at the Capitals on the money line. Panthers are minus 165. I'm going to go with Ovechkin. I know nothing about this matchup, but I'll go with the Caps.
Panthers had the best record in the league this year.
Great.
They show
Just
it tonight and wrap up the series on the road in Game 6. I'll take Florida.
Florida. All right, that's it.
All right, stay tuned for Sam Levitt. He's got that pregame show next, and then stay tuned for Padre Baseball after that because it's going to be tough to watch that game tonight. But you can hear it here on 97.3 The Fan. For Scraby, for Tony, I'm Chris. We'll see you Monday.